Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everyone. This is Carl Shinneman, president and founder of ReviewLess, and welcome to another edition of ESI Bytes, where we offer information from national speakers on electronic discovery at a price everyone can afford, which is free, and available whenever they're interested in listening to it, which is whenever you hit download and it hits your iPad, iPod, or any other listening device, and then you hit play. Today we have a real interesting show. We're going to be previewing Legal Tech 2012, which I refer to in the show title that I put up on the website as the Super Bowl of legal technology. It's the preeminent legal technology show in the world. It's being held in New York City from Monday, January 30th through Wednesday, February 1st. The show is held in multiple floors in the Midtown Hilton Hotel on 6th Avenue and 53rd Street and has a very large trade show with vendors of all sorts who display their latest and greatest technology. In addition, it draws an audience of lawyers, lit support professionals, IT professionals, and other vendors who may not be displaying at the event but still come to network and share information. It's a wonderful few days of socializing. If you're like me, you have friends in the field across the country and internationally because it's an event that the top people in the field, really, they don't miss. But it can be a bit stressful for the novice attendee because it is a large show, and there are lots and lots of attendees wandering around and multiple floors with vendors. So that's one reason we're hosting the show before Legal Tech, is to provide some advice from a range of experts on Legal Tech who are both hosting the event and also who are displaying at the event. And I also want to personally highly recommend attending Legal Tech. I've listed it in my Forbes article that it got published 2 weeks ago called Legal Hydra, Top 10 Tips to Become More Proficient with Machine Assisted Review. It's tip number 4 on my top 10 list. Go to Legal Tech. So I'm unbiased or completely biased here. I think it's great. Our guests here today are Henry Dicker, who's the Vice President of Events at ALM. He's the Executive Director for Legal Tech. Henry's been with ALM for 13 years and has been running the Legal Tech brand for his entire tenure. Christine Alamany is the Director of Marketing at Discover Ready, which is a well-known e-discovery vendor who sponsors and presents at Legal Tech. So they've both got different perspectives on the show. And so let's start the show and talk about Legal Tech. Henry, how long has Legal Tech been in existence, and could you share some insights into the history of Legal Tech?
Sure. Carl, first of all, thanks on behalf of Legal Tech, all of our sponsors, all of our exhibitors, all of our faculty. Appreciate your time and theirs on this podcast. Legal Tech, this is our 32nd Legal Tech, 32 years, started in 1980, and the stories that have been told by the campfires of law firms and in-house legal department of just how Legal Tech started sort of goes like this. There was this bellwether stalwart in the legal industry, a young woman named Janet Fellman, who in the late 70s thought that this was an area that people could learn more about, the technology that was emerging within the legal industry. The story goes that her husband was a very, very prominent partner in one of the largest global law firms, and he would come home complaining about how difficult it was to do this and how difficult it was to do that. And Janet, being an entrepreneur and a smart person, thought that there might be something here, a way to get people together and start talking about this. And she started Legal Tech 32 years ago in the same venue that we're having it today, New York Hilton. And around 1998, the New York Law Publishing Company, which was owned the New York Law Journal, National Law Journal, thought that they'd been at this show since the beginning and worked as a business partner with Janet and getting the marketing out there and getting their own sort of branding at the event, thought, this might be a good thing for us to perhaps get a little closer to. And they made her an offer she couldn't refuse. And since 1998, Legal Tech has been part of the now ALM family.
Well, that's I learned a lot in that answer. You should almost do a little exhibit area with some of the technologies that have come and gone from right at the beginning. I mean, that would be pretty cool.
We did, a few years back at our 25th anniversary, we had...
Some people still use them, but you could have, like, the history of dictaphones.
we did a little retro, little Smithsonian retrospective way back then, and it was popular, and then people were quickly on to the next thing.
Okay, so, Christine, what do you see at Legal Tech? Tell me your perspective.
We are a service provider, and so for us, it's a great venue for us to see the latest technologies because we're always monitoring the landscape for leading technologies, and this is a really good way for us to see under one roof all of the latest technologies that we have.
Okay. So, Henry, in general, what type of vendors are present, if you could sort of give a lay of the land?
Boy, if you thought my first answer was long-winded, this answer could go on forever.
That's fine.
I mean, you know, everything from the mundane to the incredible. So hardware and software and case management and business intelligence and accounting and finance. Time billing, governance, collaborative software, document management. You know, some people have said you might even be able to see a few e-discovery vendors at Legal Tech. I haven't found them yet, but somewhere they're there in the hall somewhere. But, you know, this year and probably not too odd to hear you and your listening audiences, you know, predictive coding and compliance and automated review is a big deal this year. Cloud computing, we've seen it for the last few years, and this year it's bigger than ever. I know that, you know, a few months back or last month you did a podcast on the three judges holiday all about predictive coding and assisted review, technology assisted review, and it is big. It's big in our industry, and because of that it's going to be well covered and well seen at Legal Tech.
That's great. So Henry, if you were approaching Legal Tech as a, you know, person showing up or a visitor, what would you recommend as the ideal amount of time to spend? I mean, is it an all or nothing, 3 days or one day, or if you work in New York, is dropping in for a few hours reasonable?
Well, as you said, Legal Tech is 3 days, and I would recommend spending six there.
That's my answer, too. I've never seen everything I want to see there, but anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot to be seen. You know, you said, you know, whether you're a novice or whether you're an extreme, it's a tough question. There is a lot to be seen. You know, we have an incredible reach as far as our audience. It shouldn't be as any surprise, or maybe it is, that nearly 11% of the attendants at Legal Tech come from outside of North America. I mean, we have an incredible international audience base. And clients like that will, or customers or attendees like that, you know, they'll obviously spend the whole time here. You know, Legal Tech is great if you're lucky enough to be based here in the tri-state area. You can afford to come in for a few hours and drop back out and drop back in, you know, as the 3 days of education unfolds. But, you know, for us, any amount of time that you can come in is appreciated, not certainly only by me, but from all of our vendors and supporters, and I'm sure that that Discover Ready would say the same thing. Come on down and spend as much time as you possibly can.
Well, Christine, how many? I mean, do you send most of your company down, or a significant portion?
It is a huge event for us. So one of the things that we do is we have both our marketing, our sales, and our operations folks come to see everything at Legal Tech. We plan in advance. So, like you said, there's so many things for our team to do. But one of the things we do is we meet with our technology partners and learn more about what their enhancements have been. We also meet with our clients. So, for example, we're really excited about announcing our service enhancements to our iDecision service, which now includes predictive coding. We also have a number of CLE programs that we're going to be hosting, all centered around the unique e-discovery challenges facing in-house counsel. And we have a keynote speaker. So we are a busy bunch during legal tech, and it is very important for us.
Okay. How large is it? Henry, you probably know this better than anyone.
It's bigger than a bread box. legal tech, this is going to be all the points and all the runes point to this year's legal tech being our largest and surpassing the 2008 show, which was really the pinnacle at that time for the amount of reach of legal tech. And we're looking to approach anywhere between 14 and 15,000 attendees during the 3 days of legal tech, and that's
huge.
That's big. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people to push through
that
warrant, right? Exactly. brought to you and sponsored by the following. You know, it's there isn't a place at the Hilton that isn't that doesn't have some sort of wonderful branding, and we appreciate all of that.
Anyway, so what. I'm just thinking of the elevator banks. But anyway, this would be a great opportunity for an elevator company to come in and display a new way to create new elevators for an event. But that's the way to meet people. You go to the elevator banks. You know, everyone's got to talk. It's a great, inexpensive way to network. So Henry, what's the difference between Legal Tech New York and Legal Tech Out West?
Other than the fact that during Legal Tech West Coast, we never, ever, ever worry about the 10-day forecast. I never go to weather.com for Legal Tech West Coast. It's always sunny in beautiful Southern California. You know, we created Legal Tech as an outreaching brand, whether it was during the years that we did it internationally or certainly in the years that we concurrently continued to service the West Coast, because there are those people, believe it or not, I can't understand it, but somebody tells me there's a rumor out there that there are people that sometimes can't get to New York, and that one of the next biggest markets for legal technology and certainly for the information that revolves around that is out in California. And we've been running Legal Tech West Coast. This will be our 18th year. And a lot of the vendors obviously are the same. There are some regional vendors that don't cross over the mighty Mississippi that will show at Legal Tech West Coast that perhaps wouldn't do New York. There are even, as far as attendees coming from the Pacific Rim that may not venture to New York City. Some of the information as far as education, could be a little bit regionalized and different. There's, electronic court reporting that started out in California and hadn't reached as far east as New York for a while, and that was areas of education that were covered. We have a little bit more, if you look at percentage of attendees, there is a little bit more interest, and I don't know if it just happened organically, but the West Coast has a larger percentage of in-house legal departments in attendance, and it could just be the fact that there are, in the sort of general radius of Los Angeles, a little bit more of the technology companies up in the Silicon Valley area and some of the defense companies and transportation and aeronautics. So we do have a little bit more bent on in-house counsel at the West Coast event. But other than that, it's just fun in the sun out there in Southern California, hopefully.
So, Christine, what do you see as the value proposition of attending Legal Tech? And I guess this is as a vendor perspective, but if you want to also say to try to attack it as a visitor, and I might take a crack at that one. go ahead.
There's a couple of things. One is to see the latest technology that's out there, and it's a really good way for us to talk to the technology providers and really get a perspective that you can't really get over the phone and online. The other thing is we really like to showcase our thought leadership. So, you know, we're doing a few tracks on, again, the e-discovery challenges that in-house counsel face. Everything from the top five ethical concerns in e-discovery to understanding and using automated review to the evolution in e-discovery services. So for us, it's a really good way to meet our partners, to meet our clients in person, and potential clients also, to really put our face out there and show our thought leadership in the industry.
Yeah, and I will say as someone that circles the country, that meeting up with my friends from around the country is something I really enjoy, because it's hard to do that in the field when everyone's as busy as we are. But the other thing is, you know, you're walking around the trade show and just going to the different booths to check out what's going on, and you know, to maybe learn. You know, it's a good way. You know, accounting is big in my family. My dad was the board on the FASB board, so I had accounting beat on me. I never went in the field professionally except for a year at Price Waterhouse. But you know, balance sheets tell you at a point in time where you're at, and legal tech is to some extent it's a balance sheet. If you walk around the trade show and look at the different themes that are coming out, you get a pretty good sense of the direction the legal industry is heading in. And it's free. I mean, obviously, New York's not an inexpensive city, but it's easy to get there. Just being able to walk around and talk to different vendors is fantastic. I think that, you know, my biggest challenge as someone who attends is trying to figure out how to use my time wisely. And I know I was going to ask that question at some point. So, you know, why don't we talk a little bit about that? What's a good strategy for getting the most out of your legal tech experience? Is it getting the brochure in advance and circling the exhibits or you know, trying to figure out where you're going? Is it setting up advance appointments? Is it meeting people on the fly? I mean, any thoughts on that? Henry, do you have any sense what seems to work, or do you do any studying of that, or?
Well, you know, it's funny. You'd think that 3 days would be more than enough time to do everything that you had to at any event. But you know, as you pointed out, Carl, and it's like going to a foreign country. Yeah,
it's really like going abroad.
Right. Well, we do have our own currency now, so there is that, and the rate is favorable. Just so everybody knows, it's really, you know. You and I touched upon this earlier before the podcast started about, and you would ask Christine about the value proposition, and she gave a great answer as far as from the vendor. You know, from the attendee's point of view, there is a lot of ways to come to legal tech. You can come complimentary on all of the very gracious backs of our sponsors and vendors like Discover Ready and certainly ALM, and get a lot of education and certainly a lot of information from our vendors at no cost. Our general sessions and keynotes every day are complimentary and in most cases are CLE eligible. And I'll just throw a shout out to Discover Ready that they're our day three sponsor of the morning keynote with Kevin Janier is the global GC of investment banking for Barclays, former GC of Lehman. That is completely complimentary and graciously given by Discover Ready to everyone, and that's CLE eligible, so it's complimentary. You can come to Legal Tech and see great products and get CLE education at no charge. To the tune of, you know, 2 or 3 hours of complimentary education. If you want to, and we recommend it, obviously, paying for the full boat of education, I mean, over 20 hours of not only CLE, but in some cases of ethics CLE eligibility, there is a lot to see. And if it was just that, if it was just the education, there would be more than enough information to take up those days, but there is an incredible trade show floor, and with so much information on how to make your life, and more so your professional life, so much more productive, and hopefully at the end, much more financially sound, not only for you as a practicing attorney or litigation support or a legal administrator, but in the end, the clients that you serve, both, you know, the clients that Discover Ready serve and those that the firms and the in-house counsel serve. So we hope that there's something there for everybody.
You know, and Christine, I was going to ask you about, you know, going out and recommending planning on identifying certain vendors. I'm going to take a guess here that you're going to say go and see Discover Ready and plan to attend. But
of course, Booth 320, we will be there. But in all seriousness, I whenever we're preparing to go, we plan ahead. We start making meetings. Each of us have calendars full of meetings with our partners and clients and friends. And then in our free time, we go through and go through the exhibit hall and kind of see the lay of the land and go to CLE events. So it's one of those things, if you plan ahead, you can get as much done as possible.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about this before at the beginning of the show, Henry. Last year you had this great program where you invited podcasters and bloggers to attend and let the legal community know about what they're seeing and at Legal Tech. And I thought it was a real success and noted lots of post-Legal Tech programming. Are you doing something similar this year?
Yep, and you know, we despite what some people would say, we enjoy a little bit of publicity about Legal Tech. There's always someone that hasn't heard about it. So, as you said, we actually welcome bloggers and podcasters as long as well as anyone in the world of the press. And I would influence any of your community, any of your listeners who are podcasters and bloggers, that we have programs to help you along the way. We have reserved seating in all of the conference rooms and general sessions for bloggers and podcasters, along with, you know, that pesky electrical outlets that sometimes you can't find everywhere. We actually set up for that and put out strips of electric to plug into. All of our rooms are Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi accessible. So we love it. The more, the merrier.
Great. I might be blogging there. Who knows?
We'd love that.
So you know, I mean, all seriousness, it is a bit of a mess walking around trying to meet people. And if you haven't set up appointments in advance, that doesn't mean you're not going to be able to meet with people. And my personal strategy walking around is, you know, have your cell phone with you. When you bump into people, say, hey, you got any free time? Let's meet, you know, at the meeting place in the middle. There's a lobby where you'll see lots of people waiting to meet people. And it's very – because you don't always know who's going to be there until you see them. So, you know, I personally am not as rigid in trying to plan my entire event until I get there, because I know I'm going to fill it up with great things. So I'm sort of on the other end of the spectrum of – you know, that's only because I know I'm going to be filling up my time once I get there with good things, because there's so much to see and do. And I'm always disappointed when my schedule gets filled up and I bump into someone else that I really want to spend time with. So I think having your cell phone and some form of communication is really critical while you're wandering around. Anyone else have any other tips on that?
Well, you know, I'm always surprised that there's actually a fair amount of business done in the bars at the Hilton. I don't understand that myself, but God knows there are lots of public areas, and I agree with you, Carl. It's the technology mosh pit. There is, you know, you can assimilate into the Borg very easily at Legal Tech.
Yeah, I'm bringing my iPad. That's my, you know, just wandering around. If I want to talk about what I'm up to, you know, here's a couple quick PowerPoints, three slides, and the time it takes to wait to go up and down the elevators, we would be done. And trying to keep it short, simple, respect for everyone's time. And you know, that's basically you know, how I approach it. But you know, it's just so much. It's such a great event. I hate being such a fan on it because I try to be neutral. But in this case, I'm really not. This is something I look forward to. So
we're gonna have you wear a T-shirt that says "I love legal tech this much."
Well, are you? You know, you said 14,000 to 15,000 people. Are you sold out? Is there room for more?
Well,
and
you know,
where would you find information if you're not?
Okay, so I've been in the world of face-to-face marketing for an awful long time, and I was taught by a very, very wise gentleman that you are never sold out. There is always room for one more, and whether it be an exhibitor or an attendee, we always have room for you. We'll always try to accommodate the best we can, and LegalTechShow.com is the portal for all things legal tech, not only Legal Tech New York, Legal Tech West Coast, but our newest edition now on its very, very successful third year, our virtual Legal Tech events, which, boy, that could take up a whole podcast all on its own.
It's worth doing. I'm happy to do that. I haven't attended one of those, but I talked to people about attending the one last year, and I was just busy when it happened and didn't follow up. But you know, there's always plenty of things to be doing in this field. At that LegalTechShow.com, do you already have the layout with where vendors are located so that you can sort of try to grid your day out if you want to, or is that at the day? Are you still filling up slots so you don't post that yet?
Oh no, there are floor plans. So they're not interactive, meaning it doesn't show where one vendor would be over the other. There is a full list of all the exhibitors and a floor plan, and obviously, what we've been doing is one of the big things that's the tool for navigating the live event Legal Tech is our show guide that you get when you arrive to the show. But over the last 2 years, we've taken that show guide. This one, if you can imagine, is thicker than most monthly publications. This year will be 126 pages of information on our vendors and education. And we send that out to everyone, all registered attendees, today, actually, at around 1 o'clock. Check your inbound email. There'll be the digital version of our show guide, which will talk about each of the vendors, what booth they're located in, where they are on the trade show floor plan, and of course talk about all of the great programming, including our keynote sessions for day 1, 2, and 3.
Great. Well, I'd like to thank both of you, Henry and Christine, for joining us here at ESI Bytes. It's always a pleasure to have knowledgeable speakers like you share your knowledge and experience with us and our listeners, and hopefully we'll be able to do some more shows with you later this year. And I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Juranov, for their continued support of ESI Bytes. To the listeners, if you've enjoyed this podcast, I'd encourage you to go to www.esibytes.com with a Y for a complete list of our shows. You can also remember our show and website phonetically, as it sounds out as Easy Bytes of ESI information. However you choose to remember us, come to ESI Bytes to learn more about eDiscovery before ESI bites you back. This is Carl Schinnemann, President and Founder of ReviewLess, wishing you a nice day.